Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
Welcome to fucking Hello Sport. What's the saying? Home of unqualified opinion, unwavering bias. I'm in Mexico, fucking get over it. Tom hurt, apparently. Dior Dave, still a communist. And Tobler wearing a singlet?
A muscle singlet.
We'll get to that later, Tobler, because it's not about... Oh, Jesus, that's making me fucking sick, mate. Take that off.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about me. And I was just having... I was having a lovely conversation with Caroline L.
Yeah.
Caroline at the bar. And Caroline was sweet. And she's in Mexico to celebrate Clive, a pom, but we love poms, unless the ashes are on, obviously, who's celebrating his 80th birthday. Anyway, Caroline's sitting there and she thought, okay, she spotted me today by the pool, you know, or yesterday by the pool or at the beach. And she thought that I was Michael Bublé and that Ella was my Argentinian wife. And when she sat down at the bar today, she was like, ooh, like maybe I'll snuggle up next to Michael Bublé, not realizing that it's not Michael Bublé, it's Edward Simpson, and that my wife's not Argentinian and hot as fuck. She's hot as fuck. She's just not Argentinian.
Well, how do you break that to the woman? Like, what does she like? Does she ask you to like?
No. She ends up working out, Tom. I would suggest probably by the accent. The Dubbo twang probably gives away the fact I'm not Michael Bublé. And she was embarrassed to tell me further down the conversation that in fact she thought she'd saddled up next to the great and the powerful Michael Bublé, only Michael to be
disappointed. Completely.
By the fact that I'm not Michael Bublé. I don't look like Michael Bublé. What the fuck?
No, that's what I'm trying to... You don't seem like a humongously, like... It's not... You've never got it before, put it that way. Not that that means anything, but Michael Bublé just doesn't seem like the thing that I would...
Tom, you know me. You know me almost better than anyone on the planet. You know what I mean? And... As far as I'm concerned, no one's ever approached me as Michael Bublé. No one's ever mentioned me as Michael Bublé. No one's ever given me comparisons to Michael Bublé. No one's asked me to sing like Michael Bublé. So to say I've never heard you sing. Drinks, well, I can't sing, Tom. I can't sing. And that's the long and the short of it. I've tried, I think I've tried before on streams. It hasn't really worked, but. Michael Bublé is a new one, and I'm going to add it to the list of comparisons I've received, which is two, fucking Gerard Butler, and now the great and the powerful Michael Bublé. So you can add it down, punters and dribblers. Add it down.
Mate, you take that one. I mean, listen, he's not an ugly man, Michael Bublé. Like, it's always way better when you get a nice fucking comparison, where, and I would say over the course of my life, mostly nice ones, or at least... Ones where I'm not fucking ashamed of the comparison.
Brother, you get that... Scott Disick or fucking Jake Gyllenhaal. Like,
no, not even...
I wouldn't be complaining.
Scott Disick's the Kardashian guy?
Yeah.
I have got him, but I get Jakey Jill, who I'll take to the bank every day with a shirt on. And then... Sometimes this one I can kind of see a Jake Gyllenhaal. He's got brown hair. I don't know, but like the one I get Bradley Cooper sometimes, which I'll take. But I don't.
Fuck off, you do.
Listen, mate. What do you mean? I can't help it. I can't help what I get.
Boomo reckons he gets Bradley Cooper.
What I'm getting to here, well, cool, is that the worst one that I've ever had in my life was literally like. Fucking the end of last year when this chick said that I look like Screech from Saved by the Bell. And she's like, do you know who you look like? And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Another Jake Gyllenhaal comparison. And she's like, Screech from Saved by the Bell. And I was like,
oh, like Ralph Wiggum when his heart breaks. I'm like,
Where were we when that was dropped?
We were at, like, I think it was a pre-Sydney marathon thing.
That's exactly where we were. I got one recently. I actually didn't go far enough through my messages to see this until today, but I got one in your podcast upcoming with someone that's unbelievable. An unbelievable comparison.
In my podcast upcoming with someone.
It was in our WhatsApp. I was compared to a...
Oh, yeah.
A mammal?
Yeah, an animal. Yeah. That's true. I can't remember if that was because of the way you... It was because of the way you looked, but it also had something to do with, like, the way that you behave. So we'll wait and see how that one... Yeah, right. Well, yeah, potty with Jarch out Thursday.
Nice.
Which was good fun, actually. Have you done a potty with just you and Jarch before?
No. I don't think so.
No, because it's
because you never go away
on holidays, right? Yeah, you're always on.
You're the one with two kids, Tom. So
yeah, no, I get it, dude. It's fine. But yeah, no.
Listen, you're older than me, mate. You're older than me.
I know. My life's fucking just disappearing. It's like sand falling through my hands. How is Mexico? Is it good?
Mate, it's fucking good, bro. It's fucking good living. I'm spiritual now, you know? Like, I'm a spiritual guy now.
What's that about?
No, we did something called Temazcal the other day. And for the punter and the dribbler listening in, I wouldn't say that I am historically spiritual. In fact, I would say
I'll be back in a second. Something's happened. Sorry, carry on. Spiritual, we're back. Sorry, Zoe jumped onto Evie's stomach and winded her.
Oh, poor thing. So I think it's well documented that you could probably say classically an atheist, classically non-spiritual, you would say. And I probably still float in that world, punters and dribblers, but I'm happy to have my mind opened from time to time. I think it's healthy. I think it's a healthy way to live your life, is to go, you know what? Maybe there's something out there that can make me a better human being. Maybe it can make me healthier. Maybe there's like a secret potion out there that I should be taking once daily that's going to make me a better person. Anyway, that aside, I go, you know what? I'm in Tepot's land, which is like Bogan Dubbo for, I don't know, like insert fucking Mexican town name here. Tepot's land. Again, I'm butchering the pronunciation. Don't fucking sue me, punters and dribblers. It's not my specialty. I find myself there in the shadow of a mountain, Tom, and... You know, I'm feeling things up there, mate. I'm feeling a little bit woo-woo. I'm feeling like maybe I'm going to let myself go. You know what I mean? And see if I can tap into the mines. Maybe even tap into Mother Earth while I'm at it. So we book in a Temazcal. All right. Well, Ella does and I attend. We get down there. It's basically like a fucking... I would say a clay hut. I don't know what the traditional fucking method would be, but I'm going to say clay. Might be brick, whatever. It's Mexican, sure. And it's like origins are mine. Get down there, there's like flowers on the ground. We have a couple of waters just to prepare ourselves for the Temazcal. Then you got to get down on your knees. You got to like bow to Mother Earth, who I love, who we all love, Mother Earth, shout out to her. You say a couple of words and then we've nipped in. Now I'm like inside this clay brick sort of igloo. It looks like an igloo. I don't know if that's the right word, Dave. Don't shoot me. But like it looks like an igloo, but it's Mexican or it's like Mayan heritage. Get in there and we're sort of talking about how we've lost... The person who's running it, whose name I forget, apologies. She's like, we've become disconnected from Mother Earth. Technology's ruined our souls, and we need to like get back to what's right and what's pure relationships and the heart and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, fucking oath, loving this shit. Getting into it, like trying, like getting into it because it's good, but getting into it because I'm sort of, you know, I'm woo woo now. I'm up in Tepot's land and I'm a woo woo guy.
You're there. You may as well get into it.
I'm there, and then she's, you know, she's talking about these ancient volcanic rocks, Tom, that have been boiling away. Well, not boiling, wrong word, heating away, that they're just like dropping into this pit inside this igloo. She's dropping them in there like, we use volcanic rock because it holds heat and they're old and all this shit. I'm loving it, fucking oath. Pile them in. Anyway, next things, they close off the temazcal, so it's pitch black. And then the drums come out. She's singing and shit. They've got these like volcanic rocks, throwing steam on. Steam's going everywhere. It's hot. Now I'm in a sauna, Tom. Now I'm in a steam room with this lady.
Are you shirtless? What's your clothing situation?
Listen, I've got boardies on, Tom, but the chest hair's out. Know that. I'm chest haired out 100% and loving every second of it. Again, I'm in top of Tepot's land, punters and dribblers, so I am Eddie, like woo-woo Eddie, and loving it. Sitting there drenched in sweat, and now we've got to start talking about, you know, what we want to do this year, like what we want to achieve, like what do we want to get out of this temazcal?
Are you having mezcal here, or am I just getting fucked up by the word temazcal? I feel like you're taking
temazcal
some substance.
Temazcal is the igloo. No.
I'm waiting for you to start racking up some weird fucking jungle fruit or something. I'm like, what's going on here? I want you to start tripping.
Well, I actually said to Ella when we left, I go, imagine having fucking mushrooms in there. She's like, mate, you'd lose your mind on mushrooms.
Yeah,
you would. But you've got to be very vulnerable, Tom. Like, I'm having to talk about, you know, what I love about my life and, like, what I, you know, what I want to achieve this year and shit.
Dude,
I'm like, oh, my God.
Is there anything more uncomfortable than sincerity where you've got to, like, really be earnest and sincere? You're like, oh, fuck,
not a big,
dude,
not,
I'm so revealing.
Unless it's, ooh, 4 a.m., not that sincere. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
But Ella instantly defers to me, so I have to answer first, which was fucking awkward. And, oh, I want to be more present, blah, 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 like woo-woo Eddie trying to get into it. But
I'm just saying what you know she wants to hear.
Chestnut checkers, my friend.
Yeah.
Billy not silly, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I'm saying
exactly
things
right.
She wants to hear. Nailing it, by the way. Nailing it, but then as it commences, and I'm loving it, and I'm steamed up, and I'm hot, and I'm sweaty, and I'm all chest hair, and I'm all brawn, and I'm all fucking follically gifted,
machismo.
Like I'm killing this temazcal. But then I start to realize that, like, I don't know how to meditate, and the darkness does absolutely fuck all for like a mind like mine. So I'm sitting there trying not to, like, abandon this situation because I'm like overheating. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to jump out of this fucking temazcal and like ruin the mood for everyone because I'm having an internal battle about my heat. You know what I mean? Like, it started to get fucking hot as shit in there, bro. And I literally, it was like 15 minutes on, 5 minutes on, 15 minutes on. I spent the back half of a 15 minutes, particularly when it got hot, when they like, more rocks get added every time. Every time the window opens, more rocks get added. So the last two rounds, I'd say the last half an hour, last two 15 minute blocks, for the last 12 minutes, so 3 minutes into the new round, I'm just sitting there going, how do I get through this? Like, how do I get through this situation without having to fucking go, sorry, I've got to get out of here. I've got to ruin the mood. I've got to ruin the temazcal.
Let me interrupt everyone's fucking... And are you chanting or are you humming and shit? Like, what's the...
She's banging away on the drum and she's chanting. I'm not doing jack shit. I'm finding cool places in the temazcal to like put my body on. You know what I mean? Like, the wall behind me I found was quite cool. So I'm like sort of like spotted up against it. I've got my hands on the bench that I'm really enjoying, just like trying to get me back to normality. What I realized, Tom, is that I don't have much mind in me, I don't think. Like, it wasn't really my go. Like, I liked it. I came out feeling amazing, but like, it's you know, it's like coming out of a sauna though, going, right? Fucking oath. Yeah. exactly. But I realized that like, I couldn't meditate. I couldn't clear my mind. And I have a problem with heat.
Look, I'm not a meditator of note. And by that, I mean, I can't either. But like, from what I understand, you can't just like walk into a fucking hot Mayan igloo and start meditating. Like you need to know how to meditate before you just walk in somewhere, I believe, some sort of practice. But like, I can't stay in a fucking sauna for 40 minutes. Like, however long when you're in those infrared saunas, it's like 40 minutes, you're watching the clock. I'm like, I got to go out and take a breather.
Yeah. Well, Tom, you've absolutely nailed it, mate. And I said to Ella afterwards, I said, I hope you're proud of me because I feel like I've delivered in spades here because typically I'm like a 15-minute steam room guy, maybe 10. Heat gets to me and my fight or flight turns on and I'm an absolute mess. So
how long were you in there all up?
An hour.
Fuck.
Yes, bro.
Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now you can follow along all of our bets at in the About Even private group on the Neds app. You can also follow our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but the civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
Wow, Eddie, just you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full pixie stuff. So now you're just going to say, you're going to talk about the fucking profiles tab as no. well? You're going to talk about the About Even group? Yeah?
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, Code Dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go, good. Yeah. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallosport.shop. Bang, Rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up.
I just wanted to let you know that like fucking just because you think you're a big dog on holidays, like you're not the only one that fucking can go and sit by a pool, mate. Like, you know what? You're not the only one. And I will say that every single photo that you and Ella keep posting has been like a dagger to the scrotum that sits between my legs. And I've been very fucking like, I need to do something here. I'm fucking. And so.
Stir crazy.
Steph and I, we both had like dual bachelorette parties on the weekend. So I was like. Do you want to like just get a hotel? Let's just go stay in a fucking hotel. Like that way we can go on rip and tear. We don't have to come home. We don't have to look after the girls. Something like that. Like get one of the grandmas to do it. Let's just go to a hotel. And in the end, we decided to go. So the hotel was for Saturday night. But it was like, fuck it. Let's go Friday night as well. And we'll bring the girls on Friday night. They can have a little experience. Mm-hmm. Swim in the hotel pool. fucking drink margaritas, and I'm literally like, you know, 15 minutes from my home. When I tell you that it took 45 minutes for me to feel like I was in another country. Like, that was it. I put a robe on, I swam in the pool, I had a margarita, and I could have been fucking anywhere on earth.
Robes are powerful, mate. They're powerful. Really powerful.
It was just good, honest living, dude. You just can't put a price on someone walking a margarita to your front door. you can't.
You can't put a price on answering the door in a robe with little slippers on. When would I ever walk down to a restaurant in slippers when you're on fucking holidays or when you're in a hotel? You're allowed to be in slippers. You're allowed to be. Historically, society will tell you that you can only be in slippers if you're getting the newspaper from your driveway and you'll yell at some kid for doing a dump on your lawn. Not when you're in a hotel.
Especially because newspapers aren't really delivered to doors anymore. It's more of the digital age, so there's no kids to yell at.
Correct.
But there's something very like, oh, I'm on holiday, about being completely comfortable in a robe in a room when a guy walks in with a trolley full of food and cocktails. And you're like, yeah, sorry, dude. Sue me. I am not getting out of this robe.
No.
Please place because the food why down the table.
Yeah, but you just... When you slip into a robe that's not your own, Tom, and I think that's important, when you slip into a robe that's not your own and slippers that aren't your own that have been provided for you, you become a different person. You become the holiday version of yourself, which means no inhibitions, no worries, no anxiety. I'll sleep in, I'll get blind every night, and I'll do whatever the fuck I want. That's what the robe and the slippers means. It's almost like, you know, Iron Man or fucking whatever. Insert dumb Jarch Marvel movie here. Like, you become someone else. That's the robe and the slippers to the punter and the dribbler. That is our superhero get-up. You know what I mean? Like, when you've got that on, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's our, like, fucking Thor or the guy with the Infinity Stones or whatever the fuck that is. Again, I don't.
Ask Jarge. Ask, like, insert dumb Jarge shit Jarge. Here.
Yeah, or Tobler. Tobler's a big fucking Marvel guy.
I was going to say, it's like Jim Carrey's The Mask, to use a non-superhero reference.
Wait, is he in a robe?
No, but he puts on the mask and he becomes
the kind of different thing. No, I like that. That's true. You put on the robe and then you become an anxious-free, margarita-pounding, fucking relaxo superhero.
And obviously, I understand that you can put on the horizontal season shirt and become horizontal, but I'm talking about like that go and get me stuff sort of mentality. You know what I mean? Like that.
The horizontal seat, you don't really wear the robe to the pool. That's where you wear the shirt. The robe's more for like in your own room. Like, I feel like a horizontal season shirt is wasted if you're wearing it in a bed. Like, you can do it, but it's about like floating horizontally down a street and catching everyone looking at you like, holy fuck, that guy's levitating.
Correct. It's about the guy dropping your food and margaritas, maybe seeing a nut hanging out the bottom of your robe. That's how free you are. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a chance of someone seeing... Yeah, of course they were, Tom. Of course they were, because you're on holidays in a hotel and your nuts are probably out because they're pulsating because you're having the best fucking time you can possibly have. And you're getting margaritas delivered to the door on top of, I'm guessing, maybe a club sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, is that off limits, baby? A nice club?
It was the first thing we ordered. It was honestly like? It was like sharing a cultural moment with my children. Like as close to me being able to pass on wisdom, like the ability to make fire or like how to fucking like, you know what I mean? I don't have much culturally to pass on, but when I take my children to a hotel and we sit by the pool and I say, gather round, young children, and let daddy order you your first club sandwich.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking wild. And then they're like, oh, okay, what's this? And then to see him enjoy it, you've got two club sandwich eaters for the rest of your life. Like
You can't buy club sandwiches, Tom. You can't buy them. That's how special they are to at least you and I's culture. I can't speak for other cultures. I can speak for you and I, Tom. Middling white age, like white Anglo males. We live and
looking
breathe. Looking to get healthy, but prepared to eat a club sandwich if it's on the menu and using the scales of health, make it a better fucking choice. Make it one easier to swallow by the body. Like, if you're not walking past a club sandwich, you're not. And if you do, you need to get your head red. And if you do it again, I'm sorry, I'm shooting you. It's as simple as that.
Simple as that. So that was me, dude. I was in the hotel. We pounded clubs, we pounded mugs, and then went out on a full scale rip and a tear on Saturday in Manly. Dude. God, Manly's good. Like, that could be my next move when I move house. It's north, I think. I don't know how far north. Yeah, I know, but renting, I could pay the same rent over there, buddy, and I'd be getting a fucking better house.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
you know what
fine,
I mean?
Baby. It's like, damn, well, dog.
No, renting. Obviously, I would like to buy somewhere eventually, but that, you know, that's not my priority. My priority is living in just that Northside vibe, dude. You just can't beat it.
Oh, it's a vibe.
We pound a fucking nice seafood restaurant, then we nip into Wharf Bar for a bit, bump into close personal friend Matty Johns, have a bit of a yarn. Fucking hey,
were you with wife of the show Steph Birmingham?
No. The gals were somewhere else, but we're that like both parties were over that side of the bridge.
So that was it was a bucks and a hands at the same time.
Yes, but different areas, but of the same couple.
Yeah.
In Wharf Bar with all the boys, Maddie's there with Maddie Nabes, sorry. So it was a real rugby league who's who in there with Maddie Johns and Maddie Nabes.
Did you say g'day?
Not to Maddie Nabes. Friend of the show, Luke Bracey, was talking to Maddie Nabes. Actor stuff, you get it. Whereas myself and the Hitman were talking to Maddie Johns. Me and Maddie just talk about Vegas. Oh, we're going to be over there. See you in Vegas. Got to get together in Vegas. Maybe do a show, potty in Vegas. Who knows, dude? This was just a couple of guys palling around. It was real friends first sort of stuff. Like, this is more about the excitement of just two friends talking about a Vegas holiday as opposed to, like, you know, g'day, Matty Johns, let's talk about business. This was just two really close personal friends just chopping it up in the bloody packed out Wharf Bar. But
I love that you and by extension me are best mates with Matty Johns now. I just love that.
Yeah. I know. And like, you know, and Coop's on the show, like Coop's a friend, but now Maddie obviously is like, you know, we're basically family. But we then hop onto a boat. Now, I'm not going to say that there were people on there that were having mushrooms, but you could imagine what sort of scene it would be if people were doing that on a boat on the harbour all day.
Time?
That wasn't what happened. We were on there from 5 till 8.
So you're trying to make the punter and the dribbler just close their eyes for a moment if you're driving, if you're fucking trucking nut, for example, across this great brown expansive land of ours. Just close your eyes, not for too long because you're driving, and just think about what it'd be like to be with circa 25 other virile men on mushrooms on the water from 5 to 8. Not that that happened, but just
that isn't
if
what
you
happened.
Were to use your imagination.
Yes. If you allow your mind to wander, I will reiterate, that is not what happened. But
imagine if it did.
Imagine if it did. You can imagine what it would have been like. It would have been bedlam. And in the right way. In the right way, you know, like I imagine people would have been remarking around about the beautiful trees that you could see on the shoreline. I imagine people, there would have been a lot of cloud watching. I imagine that people would be a little bit uncomfortable by the juxtaposition of nature and cityscape. You know what I mean? I imagine that stuff would have happened. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal, even if you don't, you know. We then get back
to
the city.
It would have been phenomenal had you done
yes,
that.
Yes, had that happened.
Had that happened.
Yeah. Got back to the city, onto a rooftop at Batuta Studios. And
oh, you went back to Batuta Studios?
Yeah. Where some ripping and tearing ensued on the roof. Then, you know, by that stage, it's like midnight and people start... It's been a long day in the saddle and you start losing good, honest men as they drop away. We try to go to Club 77. Now, that was a huge call given we were a bunch of, like, dads in shorts trying to get into Club 77, except for Streety, who bought a change of clothes and got into a full romper onesie. Like...
Overalls? Like overalls?
Yeah, but with sleeves. Like, so...
Get
overall
fucked.
One. Yeah, dude. Oh, like, he's like, hold on, we've got to get changed.
Wow, that is...
Yeah.
Apparently, Streety was in a fucking full onesie. Full arms, full legs. No, seriously.
No.
Sorry, I had to tell her. That's just too ridiculous.
But you know what the problem is? The problem is Streety can pull it off, even though it's like, even though it's like absurd that Streety.
Can I ask you this? Can I ask you this, Tom? Can I cut you off?
Mm.
Did he pull it off? Because that's a huge call.
He pulled it off in some sense. Listen, he was the only one that was let into 77. He was dressed the part. But obviously he didn't go in because no one else could, like, go in by yourself. But I was like, he almost dressed for the occasion. Like, oh, okay. Like, people were swimming and shit. Like, we didn't look like you should let us in anywhere. Then we don't get let into 77. We walk back up to the cross, which if you want to get your heart broken, as someone from our vintage who knew what the cross was, it is a fucking ghost town shithole now.
Went to the King's
Cross Hotel. Nothing, dude. Dead. Went to the King's Cross Hotel, which was good. And this is where the night really, like, you think it was exciting to meet Matty Johns. I'm going to do an Australian sporting icon. At the time that this person did this achievement, they were the first person to ever do it. The first Australian to ever do it.
Bradbury.
Australian sport. Yep. Stephen motherfucking Bradbury. And all the boys got around him. We got a big photo with Bradbury. I was like, this cunt just would get mobbed no matter where he goes. And to his credit,
he's a cultural icon. He's a cultural icon. Yeah. He just is.
Yeah.
He just is.
So Bradbury was getting swarmed by about maybe 10 real sweaty, cooked individuals. And then went to another nightclub. And again, this was where I started tapping out. I'm like, I now feel like this world has passed me by. It was like a lot of like 30, sort of 4 and above. Like, it was either like young, like hot people, or it was like people who were old, battling with the realities of aging, Botox, like dudes with Botox, white veneers, like depressed looking bottle service chicks who are sitting at the table with these fucking, like, a group of poons who they've got to, like, pour Grey Goose for, and you're like, oh Christ. But it was fun. It was a very dank, sweaty fucking nightclub. And again, Streety in the romper manages to finagle his way behind the DJ booth into the DJ section where there's a bouncer to let you in and out. Like, there's no way you can get near there. And then we're like, where's Streety? And then we just look up and he's like fucking grooving behind the DJ. And we're like, it's the romper, dude. Like, you don't get behind there in fucking linen shorts and a collared shirt looking like you just played golf. You need a romper. So, like, I mean, maybe he's a visionary. I don't know.
Oh, God. Shout out to Hamish Street, one of the greats. I fucking wish I saw him in that get-up. That is absurd.
Yeah, it was good.
That is absurd. Well,
he looked it looked good, but it also looked like he could have worked in like a steel factory.
Yeah. He's blue collar, mate. You know what I mean? He's a man of the people.
Or even the dog food factory. Remember when they used to have to wear those fucking onesies at the dog food factory?
I do. Josh would tell us about it every fucking week, and I used to work there all the time, mate.
I think he actually mentions it on the upcoming podcast.
Of course he does. Of course he does. It's part of who he is. Which is surprising because it happened 10 years ago and he worked there for 2 months. Not important. But I'm glad you had a good time, buddy. I'm glad that you felt like you've gone on your own holiday of sorts. I think that's important for you and I moving forward this year, that you feel like you've gone on your own holiday.
Well, I had 3 cancelled last year due to the sickness of my children. So 48 hours in a fucking Sydney hotel was a long time coming.
Did the trick?
I did. Certainly did something. It's better than nothing, that's for sure. For those of you that follow along with the golf content we do, there's currently a match play up on the Break in the Yips YouTube channel. Eddie and myself taking on my father, Billy Birmingham, and Sebo in a match play. You can go and see it there. Always fun content.
A great round.
And, you know, the age old trope of father v son. Can son best father, you know, will father ever respect son? You know, all questions are
answered. Insert trope. Yeah. All questions are answered, Tom. I think absolutely answered. It's a hell of a round. I always love playing with the old man. Shout out to Billy, one of the greats. You and I, did we bring our A game? Did we not? Obviously, historically, for those that follow the match players, Tom and I undefeated going to this latest one. Did we keep the streak up? I'll let you decide. You'll have to watch YouTube.
There'll also be a little one coming out soon. There'll be a little one coming out soon with Sebo and I. Because we went and did the 9 holes in 90 seconds video.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, we did one. It was like 90-ish. It wasn't. I hit too many shots that it didn't fit into 90 seconds. But we also did a 9-hole match play, which will come out, and I can't say too much, so I don't want to give away the ending. But
don't give it away.
What I will say is Daddy fucking drove the ball 300 metres, first drive of the day. So
Nice, Daddy. Love that, brah. Proud of you.
Yeah. Are you watching tennis over there, mate? There's not much sport going on at the moment.
Mate, I will say this, just so that we can get it out of the way quickly. The UFC 297 last night, Punters and Dribblers, was on at like fucking 1 in the morning for me. Maybe later. Like, the main event started at 10 p.m. my time. I think I don't even know if I think I might even be ahead or behind New York. All I'm saying is, if you live in Australia, the Sunday afternoon time slot is just blessed.
Yeah,
it is. It was just a fucking good fight.
It is
so much fucking better than you could ever imagine, because everything's fucking geo blocked over here. I can't watch jack shit. I can't log into KO. I can't watch Fox Sports highlights. I can't watch anything. I've just had.
Does
to
VPN?
What
does
happened.
A VPN help that?
I don't have one, Tom. I can't be.
No, not, but is that what that is? I've never used a VPN. But would a VPN? Does that just get around geo blocking? Is that?
Yeah, it does. Dave but nodding be, over exactly. There. But like, even, you know, like in Fox Sports, shout out to him, you can watch highlights of the fight after it. Like, I went to click on a 10-minute video highlights package of Duplessis and fucking Strickland, and I can't watch it here, and I couldn't find the equivalent in the fucking part of the world I'm in. So all I'm saying is,
you're in Mexico, right? They don't have YouTube over there.
There was no, like, it was all just like still images.
Scat.
Yep, scat. But I'm aware of what happened. People had fucking Strickland winning. People had Duplessis winning. Point is, Punters and Dribblers, I didn't watch it, so I can't get too in-depth with it. I'm not going to be up at 2.
It was a great fight. It was a great fight. The result was reasonable. It wasn't unreasonable. I felt like Strickland made Duplessis miss a lot, but he kept taking him down, which obviously has to count for something. Like, I was looking at the stats today. Like, the strikes landed were pretty fucking similar. Like, everything was pretty even, except for, like, control time and takedowns, which Duplessis had. But good fight. I didn't watch the rest of the card. I've heard other people say the rest of the card sucked dick, but I don't know.
There was a really good fight, the Neil Magny versus Mike Mallett fight. Like, Mallett was running him around for the first 3 rounds. Looked like he was going to win. And then Magny took him down with 1 minute to go in the third. Just ground and pound. And then the ref stepped in with like 20 seconds to go. And he jagged it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was wild. Shit. Definitely worth watching that one. The others were pretty average.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you, Tyler, for the update. That's nice.
Tell you what was average. Speaking of average, did you watch the cricket? That was average.
Mate, like, what do we expect?
I know, but it's kind of, like, sad that it delivered on how fucking shitty we expected it to be.
It was well, I would say this, again, to use the scales, punters and dribblers, which will be constantly referred to over the next couple of months. Like, I don't think people expected the Pakistan series to be as good as it was. And maybe the yang of that yin is for fucking, you know, the West Indies to be over in a day and a half or whatever the fuck it was. Was it like a day and a morning or something? No.
It was two days, like 3 hours.
2 days in a morning? Like, what, 20 runs to, it was basically an innings victory, right?
Yeah, it was 20. I think they needed like 20 odd runs to win. It was fucking, yeah, it was ridiculous. What are we doing?
Mate, it is what it is. This time of year, you wish that there was more Aussies left in the draw at the Australian Open, right? Like, that's what
Dimonor gone now. Kokkinakis gone now. I don't know if we've got any more Australians anywhere, but Dimonor was up 2-1 when I went to bed last night and then fucking lost. He was up 2-1.
We lost the first set and then he won the next two in tie breaks and then got pounded in the fifth set. Absolutely pounded. We can't buy a male winning the Australian Open, can we? I've been watching, though. I don't know. I don't think the Australian Open's shown on Eurosport in Australia. I'd be surprised if it was. But, like, I've been seeing TikToks of Kyrgios in the commentator's seat. Not bad.
Yes.
Like, he's a different style. Like,
he's a young, youthful, funny, energetic, like, again, more genuine, right? Like, where he's just fully being himself.
Yeah, I've actually quite enjoyed the videos I've seen. I'm like, oh yeah, this level of honesty is refreshing. Completely
rather
refreshing.
Rather than just like trying to be a commentator. Oh, I'm commentating. This is how commentators commentate. I got to commentate. Like, he's just being himself.
Correct. Correct.
King's good. King's good.
I was warmed by the next Hewitt down the line.
Cruz.
Cruz Hewitt in the juniors obviously got the L. But, Tom.
Did he get the L? I didn't look at the result.
He did. I just feel like the world's a better place if there's another Hewitt out there doing the damn thing. Would you share that sentiment?
No, I definitely would. But again, if he's losing his first game in the juniors, obviously a lot of water to go under the bridge. I need a better performance from the young kid.
Kids young.
Saw him in a cafe in Rose Bay the other day.
Cruz Hewitt.
You were in the cafe
as
well,
buddy. Did you give him the... When the fuck did I say Cruz Hewitt?
When we were in that cafe in Rose Bay with Jarch and Lou after we were...
Was he in there?
Yeah. I was like, there's Leighton's progeny.
Don't remember that.
In tennis attire with his coaches on a school day. So he's obviously talented. That's what I thought. I went, there's Cruz Hewitt, middle of the fucking school day. Not at school. Kid must have something.
If you're in tennis attire middle of the day, should be at school not playing tennis. You've got something. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, you're probably great. Or at least you've got a bit about you.
You got plenty about you.
But dude, for me, just like general, I know it's probably hard for you to fully appreciate because you're in Mexico right now. This has been a shit summer weather wise. This might be one, and then you throw in the cricket quality, like. I don't want to take a turn to negative town because life's good and, you know, the birds are chirping and life's good generally. But just in terms of, like, if I'm doing a power rankings of summers, this one is one of the more forgettable summers I think I've ever fucking had.
Well, it's like, as a summer, I'm obviously not there. I've heard it was fucking hot yesterday. But, like,
it was
hot leading into summer, but then summer in earnest, so to speak, has been wet.
And they were like, oh, she's going to be a fucking hot one this summer. Get ready for bushfires and heat.
No one knows what they're talking about. No one fucking really knows, I don't think. Like, unless you're predicting the weather from the next day and it's 9 o'clock at night, like, no one really fucking knows what they're talking about. I don't think.
No. Anyway,
you know what I mean?
I don't want to take a turn to negative town on the summer, but oh, you did. Fucked me off.
Oh, well, that's disappointing, mate. That's disappointing. Weather in Mexico has been pretty good. It rained yesterday. It is what it is, but
you tough. Know. What time is it over there?
It's 7:52 p.m. I have a dinner booking with my wife at 8 p.m., so I can't be here all night with the punter and the dribbler. I will, however, be back ready to rip and tear as of next Monday, punters and dribblers. I hope you're fucking pumped for that.
Dave's last show.
Dave's last show.
Or will the Wednesday be Dave's last show? As in the Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah, Wednesday.
I think it'll probably be the Thursday, Wednesday. Or
it'll
Thursday,
be the it'll be the Thursday. I think that we need to have two more shows with Dave.
Yeah,
And then it'll be the Thursday,
which will be recorded Wednesday.
Which will be recorded Wednesday because we will be back with bloke punters and dribblers next DMP. Thursday.
DMP.
DMP. What the fuck are you cunts fighting in that? Like, you should fucking fighting in that. Nah, we're not. So keep trying, bruh.
Rugby league. I'm starting to get horny for rugby league. I am like that is one thing I'm starting to like. Sometimes I feel like, you know, by the end of the footy season, you're like, all right, I'm done now. Like I'm ready for a breather. But it doesn't actually take nearly as long as I would expect for me to be like, oh, dude, I need it to come back again.
Mate, honestly. Like middle of January onwards, I reckon that my penis starts to get blood in it again for rugby league.
Yeah.
And by the time the first ball's kicked, I'm absolutely foaming at the mouth, which is obviously in Vegas. Tom and I will be there. Have we mentioned that before? I don't know if we have, but Tom and I will be in Vegas to watch Manly get the fucking dub.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sirree. Is there anything else, my brothers? It's good to see
you. I don't think
faces.
So, mate. It's been great to see all of you. I don't know if there's anything else. I am going to go back to chasing children around all day whilst my body tries to replenish.
You know what you should have, Tom? Yeah.
Already had one, buddy. Don't you worry about that. I made the smart decisions in this household. Those decisions are made.
Good boy.
It's
good
the least
boy.
I could do, mate. It's the mate, least I could
honestly,
do.
Honestly, Tom. It's what's the fucking least you could do?
Have a good day.
There you go, bro. Have a good day and you'll have a good day. Simple as that. Righto. Okay. Uru, love yous all. See you next week.
Bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.